Another student once described Julia Domna as a powerful woman with a kick-ass hairdo and the beloved of Professor Harrell. These students, of course, got extra credit for making these remarks. She was a woman from Roman Syria. She was brilliant in her own right, is reported to have maintained a salon of savants and poets. And she and her husband both represent a further development on that relationship. The imperial family actively courts cities because they need those cities for political support. Septimius Severus seized power in 193-195 in a civil war, one of the rare civil wars of the early Roman Empire, and he and his family, ruled to 235 AD, were absolutely assiduous in cultivating the eastern elites, in cultivating the great sanctuaries, and they represent an important shift where the Roman emperor now begins to recognize that those cities in Asia Minor are among the most important of his empire, that they provide money, revenues, and talent, particularly administrative talent, for the entire Roman world. And so we've come quite a distance from Augustus, who was revered by a grateful set of provincials, to an emperor such as Septimius Severus, who is making every effort now to court these very powerful aristocratic families, the families so important in running those cities. So that development over a 250-year period, is very much been explained from the Roman viewpoint. Well, what about the Greeks themselves? What about all of those provincials? Well, there, the development saw the reemergence of a Greek identity, and the upper classes took those notions of philotimia, philopatris, love of honor, love of homeland, and expressed it in not just service to the Roman emperor, into entering the Roman Senate, but also in recreating in their minds both the literary and the visual arts of Greece. And they advanced themselves, if not as the blood descendants, at least as the cultural descendants of the Greek city-state of the classical age and all that that cultural tradition meant. This was expressed very often in gift-giving, in festivals and games that were a means of expressing civic loyalty, usually to the principal divinity of the city. Most high holidays were tied to the worshiping of the gods, and this was all paid for by members of the upper class out of their own purses. It was as a mark of their civic loyalty. They also maintained the provisioning of the great cities, which began to increase in size. Ephesus by 100 AD may have been a 250,000 strong, Pergamon 125,000. These are huge cities on the western shore. With it, a whole set of social amenities, that is maintaining the gymnasium, the educational institutions, the athletic games and competitions, the teaching of Greek literature, all of this associated with that Greek identity. And starting at the end of the first century and running through the second and into the third century, you see this revival among the educated classes of the Greek world, and particularly in Asia Minor, of the Attic dialect, that is the literary dialect used by the Athenians in the 5th and 4th century B.C., that the spoken Greek, as it's called, Koine Greek, the Greek you would encounter in reading the New Testament, which was a simplified Greek of the Hellenistic age, was enriched by going back to the earlier classical Greek and taking terms and phrases, grammatical forms, such as the optative mood, which essentially had dropped out, is brought back in. And we often call this movement the Second Sophistic, where scholars and writers, and the most prominent are coming from the cities of Roman Asia Minor, such as Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon, that they made a concerted effort to recreate a classical set of letters. In some cases, these authors attempted to write in the style of a Thucydides or a Plato, right down to very specific nuances of the Attic dialect. And this was more than just some sort of learned revival of old forms. These authors thought of themselves as a prophet, prophetes in Greek. They saw themselves as the successor of the poets of the Archaic Age, back in the 7th and 6th century B.C., when poets were revered as speakers of the community. They were called in as arbiters and lawgivers. These learned men of the second sophistic felt that they succeeded to that role. Now, they didn't write poetry so much as orations, and there is a upsurge in the study of rhetoric and oratory Why? Well, orations was one of the main ways in which you were able to approach the Roman emperor. Ilius Aristides,